The Principal Charity Classic is gearing up for an annual PGA Champions event at the Wakanda Club next month. Tournament director Alex McCarty talked with KFJB last week to discuss some of the details of the tournament.
It's always an exciting time when we start to get our player commitments. Our biggest one this year is Iowa native Zach Johnson. He just became eligible for PGA Tour Champions this year, just turned 50. So he's been competing on tour for a few months now and has really made a name for himself already on the Champions Tour as well.
The PGA Champions Tour is for golfers who are 50 and older. McCarty says some past champions are also playing, like last year's winner Miguel Angel Jimenez and previous winner Ernie Els. The Principal Charity Classic is set to run June 12th through the 14th.
PrincipalCharityClassic.com. All of our spectator information is there. There's a link to our ticket purchasing page. We've got tickets for all kinds of fans. So our grounds ticket, which gets you admission into the event, starts at $25. Our advice is to buy them in advance. They do go up slightly during tournament week. So if you buy them in advance, you can have them and save a bit there.
He says youth 15 and under get in free with a paid adult. There's also some upgraded experiences you can get with their trophy club. Learn more at PrincipalCharityClassic.com. Tonight, the Marshalltown City Council will have a special Tuesday night meeting because yesterday was Memorial Day. They're set to discuss a roughly $2.5 million mill and overlay road project. Public Works Director Heather Thomas stopped by last week to talk through the process of picking the roads for this project.
So as we looked at these projects, some of the things we looked at is what is coming up this year. What other things are happening this year that may impact traffic and selecting those roads, and then also looking at the next 5 years.
She uses West State Street as an example, as this mill and overlay project will go from 5th Street to 13th Street, leaving about two blocks from 3rd to 5th Street untouched from this project and the State Street reconstruction project a few years ago.
And some people ask, well, why are you skipping two blocks, you know, between 3rd Street and 5th Street? And the reason we're skipping those two blocks is because we have a storm sewer project that's going to be at the 4th Street intersection here coming up in the next 5 years. So as we look at street sections, you have to look at the street condition. That's absolutely a factor, but also kind of looking at what is projected as underground work in that area.
Other projects were also a factor in which roads are currently closed, like the Center Street Viaduct.
So as we picked this set of projects, we tried to pick streets and stuff that weren't going to further complicate the traffic congestion or detours necessary for the projects that are happening this year.
Beyond just traffic flow, we know that construction equipment is heavy and can cause further damage to roads, so they will not work on a road near a major project like Miller Middle School or a potentially upcoming project like at the old hospital. This mill and overlay project and all the roads will be discussed tonight at the Marshalltown City Council meeting at 5:30 this evening. Marshall County Engineer Paul Geilenfeld talks about some road construction happening on the county level. They're currently working on some box culvert projects on Underwood and Merle Hibbs Road.
And we've got one of the boxes in, and we're waiting on the second one that's on a little diagonal there right off of the curve, and we'll get that finished up.
Geilenfeld says there's an upcoming project on Oaks Avenue down in Haverhill, and that may cause a detour to get to the Haverhill Social Club.
But you still will be able to get there. It'll just take a little one-block detour, a couple weeks, but it's under the pavement, so we're going to have to make sure we backfill that good and get the patch put back in there, so it'll be take a little bit longer.
Finally, Geilenfeld talks about a project coming in July when they'll be replacing a culvert on 250th Street just east of Highway 14.
There's one that has just recently scheduled itself. Sometimes we get to schedule things. Sometimes the projects tell us when we get to do them. And this one definitely needs replaced.
Geilenfeld says his team is keeping busy throughout the summer. Another upcoming project on their radar will be out at Ridge Road. The number of crashes and deaths in Iowa attributed to drivers being distracted by their smartphones continues to climb, and a study finds a simple free feature that's already on our phones could help to prevent many of those accidents. The Do Not Disturb function can be activated in just seconds, and it may hold key to curbing risky behavior behind the wheel. This function does not limit access to music or navigation. Federal studies show distracted driving contributes to about 9% of all fatal crashes. In 2024, distracted driving is blamed for more than 10,000 crashes in Iowa, according to the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau. Nearly 17% of Iowans smoke, and if you're one of them, you probably already know how hard it is to quit. Michelle Gilbertson, a wellness education specialist at Amplify Health by Gunderson, says it can be overwhelming trying to beat a nicotine dependency, but it's far from impossible. She suggests starting small.
A lot of times people try quitting cold turkey, they aren't able to be successful, and they totally give up in trying to quit. I would recommend trying to quit by reducing how much you use each day, and then from there, reduce how much you use per week, so that over time, you're eventually gonna quit.
For many Iowans, smoking is a crutch to fall back on during times of stress and in social situations, especially when you're out drinking.
If you are going to be drinking alcohol and you know that you're the type of person to be tempted to smoke or use nicotine products, it's best to avoid that situation altogether. Or you could try finding an accountability buddy, someone, friend, family member, trusted individual in your life that can hold you accountable to help you stay away from smoking or using nicotine.
Quitting nicotine is hard, and Gilbertson says you shouldn't be afraid to seek out the help of a professional.
Reach out to your doctor. They can help you get medications prescribed to help you through the quitting process. You can also call 1-800-QUIT-NOW, which is the state tobacco quit line, where you can get connected to a quit coach to help you through the quitting process, help you establish good routines when it comes to reducing your tobacco use.
State health officials say tobacco is the leading preventable cause of death for Iowans, taking the lives of more than 5,100 adults each year. Money is also a big motivating factor to quit smoking, as a pack of cigarettes is now averaging about $10 in Iowa. For more help, you can go to quitlineiowa.org. We've seen moose, bears, and mountain lions wander into Iowa from other states, and now a smaller animal is on that list. Iowa DNR wildlife biologist Vince Evelsizer says the latest visitors are mammals called fishers.
You have seen a few more fishers in northeast Iowa. We're trying to monitor their whereabouts or their prevalence with the trail cam survey, and then a lot of feedback from private landowners and our own staff over there in that part of the state.
He says fishers are in the weasel family.
They're kind of shaped like a big mink or a smaller otter. So they've got fur. They're typically a dark color, mostly a dark brown or blackish color, and then kind of a silvery hair on their back and shoulders typically.
He says you can find them where there's timber.
Fishers are a woodland-dwelling mammal. They may or may not be near water. They're not a semi-aquatic mammal like the mink is, or, you know, where minks spend a lot of time along the, you know, water bodies and things like that. Fishers typically are a carnivore that live and hunt in our woodlands.
Evelsizer says the fisher incursion is small.
We don't have a lot of fishers. It's just notable that we've had, you know, anywhere from 2 to 5 confirmed sightings or reports of fishers in northeast Iowa at this time, here just in 2026 alone.
Evelsizer says the fishers are likely coming from southeast Minnesota or southwest Wisconsin.
Southeast Minnesota has seen a slight increase in their fisher population, and so it's likely we're getting some fishers bouncing into northeast Iowa from there. So they're dispersing naturally into northeast Iowa. And it's also important to note that fishers were once native to Iowa. Especially the eastern half of the state.
Evelsizer says it's interesting to see an animal show up in the state that were once natives here. He says they'll continue following reports of fishers to see how this develops. Coming up, we're going to hear from some of the Republican candidates that will be listed on the June 2nd primary ballot for the governor's race. It's 1210.
If your saving for retirement strategy involves the phrase, "I'll get around to it someday," we need to talk. Hi, I'm Edward Jones financial advisor, Bruce Weirin. When it comes to meeting your goals, time can be on your side, and there's no better time than now to get started toward your retirement goals. Stop by our office at 16 East Main Street in the City Center in Marshalltown. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Almost 12:11. We are at 83. It is sunny outside. Let's go ahead and get more news with Zach Tomisch.
The Republican candidates listed on the June 2nd primary ballot have struck a common theme that Iowa's population has to start growing, as Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
The Republican candidates for governor have struck a common theme on the campaign trail that Iowa's population has to start growing. Congressman Randy Feenstra has been promising to take Iowa to new heights.
We have to make sure that our communities are thriving, that when our kids graduate from high school, that there is a skill and a job waiting for them right away.
Businessman Zach Lane says population growth is the ultimate answer to the systemic issues Iowa faces.
You know, I'm all for low taxes, low regulation, but if our kids are leaving and our people are getting cancer, we're not winning. That's not a winning scenario in our state.
Lane suggests businesses in urban Iowa shouldn't be eligible for state grants and tax breaks, and those incentives all should go to businesses in rural areas. State Representative Eddie Andrews agrees.
You know, we have so many communities that there's nothing but an elevator there.
Pastor Brad Sherman boils Iowa's economic dilemmas down to this.
It's the big picture. We have to grow our population.
He suggests one solution is a farming shift to grow more of the food Iowans eat. Former state agency director Adam Steen says population loss can be reversed in rural areas.
We've got to be recruiting new business into the state of Iowa to capitalize on the infrastructure that we have.
Steen says promoting skilled trades like welding and plumbing would make the state cool again for young people looking for a place to live and raise a family. Radio Iowa, I'm O.K. Henderson.
Memorial Day is considered the start of summer, which means some Iowans will be dusting off their canoes, kayaks, and paddles. Nate Carr, an Iowa DNR conservation officer for Hamilton and Hardin counties, urges people to keep a few things in mind when they hit the water for the first time this year.
There's no way the water's going to be heating up to a safe level. So if you don't have a dry suit, if you're not experienced in winter paddling, being out there on really cold water in a cold environment, it's not a good time to go. I know it's real tempting, cooped up all winter, but we just need to wait a little bit longer.
Carr says many waterways will still be carrying springtime chill, so be prepared to get soaked.
When the water temperature is below 60 degrees, that puts you at automatic risk for hypothermia or worse. So we know it's really cold, and it's really deceiving because you feel like you want to go out there without a jacket and just think you can paddle. But as soon as you hit that water, you're going to feel cold water shock, and it's going to be a big problem.
Paddling can be a lot of fun and great exercise, but Carr reminds them there are also serious risks and potentially dangerous hazards.
If you can find those groups, whether it be social media or through local paddling clubs, get hooked up with the right people because you don't want to paddle alone anyway. You want to go out with three or four really experienced people. So just get out there, put your feelers out in social media. You'll come across some people.
You can learn more about kayaking on Iowa's waterways at iowadnr.gov. To help meet the increasing demand for pilots, the University of Dubuque plans to offer a new associate degree of applied science in flight operations this fall. The campus in Northeast Iowa has been a training ground for airplane pilots since 1974 and helicopter pilots for nearly a decade. Professor Tony Foster, the head of academics at the University of Dubuque's Department of Aviation, says the new program should allow students to complete coursework and start their careers in about half the time.
We're a year-round program anyway. We're effectively flying 12 months a year, close to 365 days out of the year. So that's not much of a difference or a change for us as a program or as a department at the university. But this is just in terms of meeting their degree requirements. Yes, on paper, they could hypothetically get through the program in about 2 years instead of four.
Some projections show up to 700,000 new pilots will be needed in the coming decades as airlines enforce mandatory retirements. While Foster says helicopter pilots are in exceptionally high demand for things like firefighting, law enforcement, hospital EMS crews, the military, helicopter tours, and more.